podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 4, episode 14, episode 149. How's it going?
It goes.
I know.
It goes. Yeah, guys, I'm tired.
Oh, girl, I know.
I'm tired. Did not get a ton of sleep last night. Our friends upstairs after a week of moderate quiet, we're back with a vengeance.
Oh, no. Were they sleeping at her house for a week? Is that what
they must have been? They must have been. And I think the cat was very lonely because of it. So we traded one sound for another, which was just scurrying kitty feet up and down the length of the apartment.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe looking for food. Maybe looking for his very loud owners. It's unclear.
It's unclear.
But they were back last night. Yeah. Mm. So, precious little sleep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you for an update on your neighbors, so I'm glad that we got to that with less than a minute in. I know we had a week off in between shows, so I was curious about that. I'm glad that we've gotten that out of the way. Maybe we are in for some more fun tonight.
I don't – hopefully not, because – so Daniel, in his infinite wisdom, marched himself upstairs this morning.
No.
He did. Knocked on the door. No one answered, so he left a note.
A note! And that is why.
He left a note. And who says that, like, men can't, like, have these awkward conversations? Because he just, like, left a note saying, like, hey, like, we got to talk about the noise. Here's my number. You can call or text me or, like, come down.
Well, you know what's going to happen? Either they're going to be super fucking obnoxious and have the loudest sex that you've ever heard ever in your entire life just to fuck with him, or they'll be quiet.
But here's the thing. He responded.
Oh.
He did respond. And he's like, hey, man, like, oh, like, really, really sorry. You know, like, I got your note. Sorry about the noise. Like, here, actually, let me review the tape. Hold on. I have a picture of the text in question. Hold on.
Okay.
I don't want to paraphrase here.
Yeah, I hear paraphrasing is an impeachable offense nowadays.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. He says, hi, you know, it's your neighbor. Sorry to hear I've been disruptive. What can I do to help you? My response would have been, A, get rugs. And B, like, if you're going to have sex, have sex at normal hours, like
right.
Normal people.
I don't care if I hear you during dinner, but like.
Yeah, but like at 2 in the morning is disruptive to my life.
Yeah.
Daniel was much more tactful, but like was very direct. Like he just, you know, said, you know, thanks for responding to my note. You know, and he sort of just called him out. He's like, we've been hearing really loud sex in the middle of the night. It's been waking us up. You know, like didn't just used to like stating the facts. And I was like, you know what? I would never have the nerve to do that. I was so impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
But yeah. So he was like, totally fair. You know, I can certainly do that. So we'll see. It's like it's not him making the noise. It's his significant other who doesn't live there. So is he going to tell her? Like, I don't want some poor girl to be getting all self-conscious when she's trying to have fun.
Oh, my God.
Being too noisy. But I also want her to be quiet.
Yeah. No, you just want her to be quiet at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You should be like,
or like maybe
look.
Like move it into the shower. Like move it somewhere where there's like more.
Like a buffer.
Yeah, there's more of a buffer, and there's more, like, the sound won't bleed quite as much.
Yeah, because, yeah, and you don't, as we talked about last episode, you don't hear it when the shower is running.
Yeah,
them.
It's true. It's
you
true.
Those quiet pipes.
It's a no-go zone.
It's a no-go zone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be hysterical if right now his girlfriend is recording a podcast and reading Daniel's note there?
So meta.
That would be so meta. It's so amazing. And we could do, I don't know, a crossover.
I really love that. And her listenership would be like, how dare they shame you? For-
yeah, exactly.
You be as loud as you want.
You get it, girl. Literally.
It's like the upside down version of our podcast.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Wait, what's our alternate universe names on the broadcast?
Oh, I wrote it down. It's like Armando, Sean, and Colin. Hold on, I have
Colin?
It.
Colin? Isn't it Colin? colon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know a colon.
Unless you're the general. Unless you're like, yeah, colon.
No, I know a colon in real life. Sorry.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, yeah. So right now, Armando, Sean, and Colleen are talking about... Armando, Sean, and Colin are talking about
how obnoxious their boyfriend's downstairs neighbors are.
The yeah,
shrill old prudes.
Oh man, that's so funny. I hope that they are, and I hope that we can listen to it, and then I hope that we could do a crossover.
I think we'd have to.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, so thank you for the update on your neighbors. You'll have to let us know what happens, if anything, after this. I also double dare you to make eye contact with him in the elevator if you ever see him.
I'm actually not certain who he is.
Oh, man.
I think we've met before.
Okay.
But I'm not certain. Just going to have to, like, anyone that's coming from upper floors and I'm getting in the elevator, just kind of, like, give a weird side eye. Like,
Well, you could just go up there and, like, wait.
Right, just stalk the hallway.
Like, it's directly above you, right? So maybe your Wi-Fi reaches that high and you can just, you know. Just
set up like a hidden camera.
Just set up like for your own, you know, like you're sitting there texting, waiting for somebody. And then like they come out, you snap a picture like covertly. Okay, now I'm getting into creepy territory.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Our building is not... That would be weird.
Yeah.
People don't hang out in the hallway.
I know. All right. Your neighbors, Superstore update. Where are you? Like, what season are you in?
We're still in season one.
Okay.
Most recent episode, I think, was the one where they all get locked inside the store
for an overnight. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I think we might have watched the one directly after that one, but I think that one is, like, so memorable that, like.
Yeah, that one is pretty good.
Oh, right.
All right, I just cut a whole bunch of stuff out, but I'm pretty sure that will be in the bonus of some sort. Speaking of, if you are a patron, you could have access to our bonus content, $5 or more a month at patreon.com/jandjack. We would love to have you because I'm so immature. We do the bonus clips, bonus shows every month, once a month. We also do a live show for the patrons that are at the hangout level or higher, which brings me to the announcement that next week is our 150th episode, and we are going to absolutely be live for the patrons next Tuesday. That would be October 22nd. Speaking of Schitt's Creek, season five is on Netflix and we're almost caught up. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Nice.
And
that show is so funny.
Show's so funny. I now regularly go, ew, David, ew. I lost my train of thought. I had something to say versus what Amanda was gonna say, things that you could watch. I don't know. Good times. Shandy. I know that this comes up a little bit later, so I can ask you then, but I did have it to ask you up front for an update on your boy jeans.
Ah.
Are they still working for you?
Yeah, I washed them. I haven't actually worn them since I washed them. God, I love the pockets. It's just the size is just like a little off. I need to wear them again and report back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the size is a little bit off just because they're made for like more male body types in general?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, I mean, it's possible that I looked through like all the sizes, and at one point there was like a combination of the length and waist that wasn't there that I really wanted to try. Maybe that would have been the perfect fit. There was also kind of like a limit to the amount of time that I felt comfortable going in and out of the men's changing room.
Oh. That's fair. So,
like, you know,
that's legit.
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, maybe I should recheck the size and go back and try again. But yeah, I haven't worn them for a little while, but that's just been, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll try again.
Cool.
Maybe with a belt. I don't know. That's what I need. I hate belts, though, but...
You just got to find the right belt.
I suppose. I will say, though, on a different note, I am a swimming machine.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's awesome and very exciting.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I have my last lesson tomorrow, which finishes up 4 weeks of lessons. It's like exactly what I needed. I've I have two lessons a week, and then I've been going like one or two times a week in addition to that to like swim laps. And I actually just went there before we recorded.
Nice. I'm swimming. That's like most days of the week.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
More days than not. If you figure two times for actual class and then a couple additional times.
Yeah, one to two additional times depending on the week. But
still, that's more days than not.
Yeah, it's been really good though. It's like, it's so good. It's all the things. It's, for one thing, for me, it's been a really good reminder of, I mean, like, I just needed just a couple of tips on, a couple of like instructions for a couple, and then, but to have that instructor like watching you and telling you what to do and then just going also creating the habit,
right.
And building off of what you know, like, that's exactly what I needed. But like, just a reminder that first of all, doing something new is super fun. And I feel like we don't necessarily do that as much as adults. It's like when we're growing up, you know, when you're like kids and teens and whatever, like everything is new. So it's like different new thing all the time. It's been a while since I kind of like really did something new. It's always fun to do something new too, because like when you're kind of going from like more or less like zero, like learning a new skill, you make a lot of progress really fast because, you know, you're going from zero.
Right.
Until you plateau. But so, and that's always just like really encouraging and feels good. And it's good for like self-esteem and makes you want to do it more. And it's just good all around. And like, I just love being in water. And I don't know, I just feel like more competent now. And I can like actually do it for a workout. And it feels so good as a workout. I'm just like so pleasantly exhausted right now in the best kind of way.
That is so great. You're inspiring.
I found out that my new office location, the Y is a 10 to 15 minute walk from my office. So I'm looking forward to being able to walk there, swim for like, 20 minutes, a half hour, and then walk, shower, and then walk back.
That's the other thing that I love about swimming so far has been like, so when I go on my own, I like the first time I did 20 minutes, I've sort of worked up to like 30 minutes. I still have to like catch my breath in between laps.
Yeah.
But I not as too. Much as before.
Yeah.
So it's not quite continuous, but you know, more or less, but it's still like a really good workout in a really small amount of time. Whereas like, I feel like if I go running for 20 to 30 minutes, it's still good for me. And it's, you know,
it's just, yeah, that's kind of exactly
cardio how I and everything, feel. But it's not the same fatigue actually.
Yes, because your muscles, to me, after I swim, I get that different tingly feeling of the muscles than when I walk or hike or run or do pure bar.
Well, and it's probably a little more full body because you're using your arms where like when you're running, your arms are just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely more full body, which is probably like why I feel more just fatigued overall. But then like without, the force of gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, none of my body aches or has any sort of pain anywhere.
Right.
But anyway, this is all like the super obvious stuff about swimming, but it's just like, it's really fun to like rediscover something as an adult.
You are inspiring.
Yeah. I need to go find something. Yeah. I need to go find something new I've never done before. I'm going to take a page out of your book and I'm going to find something. That sounds like you're buzzing with glee. I love it.
Agreed.
Yeah. And not like, because it's not that any of us are loaded, because we're not, but like, because we are adults, we do have a little bit more disposable income that we can choose how we spend. So like, you can do like the swimming lessons. Like I was younger, I wouldn't have done them because it seemed like a lot of money at the time. It was like $49 for 8 lessons.
Wow.
It's like the best $49 I've ever spent.
I don't think you could do anything in New York City for that little.
That's $8 a
bargain. That's a bargain. That is great.
Yeah.
That's
On top of my gym membership, but still, like, I was paying my gym membership anyway. So
right.
That's $8 a class. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's super, super, super cheap.
Right? No, 8 times 8 is 64.
So your gym has a pool.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Forget my math.
Yeah. Which, so that's the other thing. Like, my gym membership, like, I usually maintain it. And then for a while, like last year, I hadn't really been maintaining it because I wasn't really going. And then it's like, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? But I'm glad, like, I'm back in the membership. And honestly, for just the pool alone, I think it's worth it.
Okay, yeah. That's $6.13 a class.
It's amazing.
That's a really good deal. Calculator. It's a really good deal.
It is a really good deal. So it's what you're saying deal. Is this is a sensation that you enjoy. It's something that makes you happy.
Yes.
Okay.
So where are you going with this?
Where I was going with this, I was trying a really terrible way to talk about this next thing that I had, which was a BuzzFeed article. And it's from last week, and it's people are sharing their favorite non-sexual sensations.
Oh.
Yeah, some of them are good. Some of them are, you know, normal.
I like this.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
I am intrigued, too, because once you kind of get, there's maybe 15 or 18 of them. I'll selectively do it. But some of them, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, that is a great feeling. Specifically, like, to me, one of the great sensations I have recently felt was being able to go for a walk without, like, having to stop because my stomach hurt from my surgery. So, and, you know, just that, like, that's feeling like, good. Yeah, you're right. I love doing this without pain.
Good. I went, like, real small on that when you said, like, thing. I was like, oh, like scratching your hair. Like,
yes!
Like,
okay,
picking between your toes.
Yes! Okay, here we go, Amanda.
Don't knock it. It feels great.
Amanda, this question was farmed out to the internet, so all answers are welcome.
Great.
Okay, so
picking your nose.
Yeah, well, I love picking my nose, but
exactly, it's satisfying.
I was picking my nose the other day at a traffic light, and there was, you know, it wasn't busy, but I was just going like this, and there's construction because they're making the road from 2 lanes to 3 lanes. And one of the construction workers definitely was watching me. And I wasn't even like the first car, and it wasn't like somebody that was holding up the, you know, like stop go sign. It was like straight up, like there was a traffic light and he was just like chilling. And I was like, da da da.
Better caught picking than in a meeting with a boogie.
That's exactly. Mm,
true.
All right, so the first one is, speaking of being able to breathe out of Oh, and let me credit this where credit's due. This is by Allie Hayes, and it's BuzzFeed. First one is by whatever. Okay, Norse chieftain. Being able to breathe out of both nostrils after being sick.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good pleasure.
Yeah.
Getting into a hot bath after you've been freezing all day. I would argue hot shower, too.
Hot shower, too. Yeah.
Or
that probably almost feels better, I think, because it's like the jets of the water.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go hot tub.
Oh, yeah. Hot tub.
That's like a special occasion thing, though. I don't have like access to a hot tub on the regular.
My gym has a hot tub.
No.
Yeah. Drinking water when you're really, really thirsty, especially after exercise. There's nothing better.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or when you're hungover and you're up in the morning, that's also the best drink of water.
Okay. Honestly, swear to God, you know what that sensation is for me? Milk.
Ugh.
I was going to say chocolate milk for running.
Ah. Mm.
Long distance. Oh, my God.
For some reason for me, if I have, you know, drank too much the night before, because I generally tend to drink a lot of water before I go to sleep and in the middle of the night, because I know, because I never get to the point anymore where I don't have the wherewithal to be like, this isn't going to be fun in the morning. but I have found that in the morning, whole milk, I'll drink some of Alex's whole milk and it actually helps.
It's like a little bit of fat in there too.
Yeah.
Give your body a little. Yeah.
And we get this. So, this local whole milk, it comes in like a glass bottle.
God. Oh, I love it. Like,
yes.
And you know, you give the bottle back to them when you're done and you get like the deposit back, and like, it tastes so good. It kind of, to me, is like how like adult version of like getting breast milk, like for babies. It's like slightly sweeter, and like, I don't know, I really like it. So anyway, Thumbs up for me. I guess I'm adding localized whole milk to my list of non-sexual sensations here.
Go for it.
The next one is finally removing the food that's been stuck between your teeth for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that like little popcorn? Corn kernel. Mm. Oh,
yes. Bitch. The worst, right? And sometimes, so like, bad. You pick it and then you kind of get like the tip of it, so you can't fill it with your tongue anymore, but it's still in between. Oh, I know.
Oh, the worst is then when you accidentally push it too, like, further in, and then it starts to like hurt. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, I hate that.
Bitch.
Thank God for people in my building that have dental floss.
Like in your office building?
Yeah.
That's nice.
I know. Well, there's this one woman in my building who brushes her teeth every day after lunch, and she's always in there.
Yeah, I have some coworkers. I have a coworker that's doing Invisalign, so she's like forever brushing her teeth.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess with Invisalign you kind of have to.
Yeah.
The next one is taking a nap in the fall with the window open and feeling that your blanket is a little bit cold. I totally co-sign this because we finally had some fall days. And I was really excited to sleep with the windows open and have that like little chilly feeling.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, here we go, ladies. This is Amanda's. It's dedicated to you. Taking your bra off after a long day.
Oh, yes. It's the best. I did that right before we started recording, and it felt wonderful.
Woohoo! The next one is when a constant noise, like the kind that some machines make, stops all of a sudden.
You mean like this?
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Okay. So in my neighborhood, well, in my, like around my building and also in my neighborhood, people use those fucking like leaf blowers. Mm. There's somebody who comes like to do maintenance around my apartment building every Saturday. And like, poor guy, it's not his fault. It's just his job. But he uses a fucking leaf blower to like blow around the. And it drives me nuts. And I really want to start a petition. And like, I don't know how to go about doing this, but I want those things outlawed because, I mean, first of all, it's unnecessary and it's using, it's like actual pollution. Also, noise pollution. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Infuriating.
Yeah.
I hear you. It's kind of like, I don't really get it so much in Raleigh, but on Long Island, you know, there are a lot of places to hike on Long Island and they have dirt bike trails, whether or not they're supposed to be there. They're like created. And you could be like enjoying a peaceful walk with nature and hear like, you know, one of those dirt bikes go.
Oof, that's the worst.
It is kind of
the
worst.
Oh my God.
Oh, the quads. Okay. Sorry. Jay just came in. And are you going to sleep? All right. Love you, Nate. Anyway, yeah, the quads. The quads are bad. Next up is taking off your socks after a long day and scratching the sock marks. Oh, the ones around your ankles if you're wearing tall socks.
Yeah. See, I would go more for like getting the lint out from between your toes.
Noted.
But that's just me.
I agree. I agree with that because I don't wear high socks.
Yeah, I wear very low socks. The minimal amount of sock.
Yeah. The next one I think I'm going to dedicate to myself. Putting on glasses that work for the first time. It's literally like seeing the world through new eyes.
Yeah. That is kind of what it's like.
It is.
Yeah.
Which I say now frequently with my reading glasses where I'm like, man, the adjustment going, like taking them off and like having to adjust to the distance again or like regular, that actually does take me a minute where I get like sometimes a little dizzy or I'm like, hold on. But like while I'm wearing them and looking at the computer, it really is like all of the difference.
Nice.
This one I'm going to dedicate to Jay because he loves this and, well, I can't help him here, but when somebody with long nails scratches your itchy back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or just like any semblance of nails, fingers, the whole, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
True. The next one is when that part of the song comes on, the part that gives you a tingle that starts at the base of your neck and works its way up through your entire body. So like your favorite part of a song.
Yeah.
Of a really good song.
It's like an ASMR sensation.
Yeah. Mm. I guess, because I don't really do the ASMR, but I trust you. I think we're on the same page here.
Well, that's why people like ASMR, because like people that feel it, that's what it feels like. It's very
really?
Pleasant.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I'm trying to think what song would do that for me. I'll come back to it because I know I have songs that do that for me. The next one is putting on your comfy clothes and knowing that you won't have to change out of them for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
That is definitely true.
That is legit.
Yep. And we're almost done. We got just a couple more. Entering a fresh-smelling, air-conditioned hotel after you've been walking around in the sun all day. That one is very specific.
That is very specific. By someone who, clearly that just happened to.
Right. Like, that person actually submitted
this. This is my contribution.
They were, you know, in the middle of, like, Arizona in August.
Like, yeah.
This is the best sensation ever. The next one is the feeling of clean bed sheets sliding against your freshly shaved legs as you crawl in for a night's slumber. If you are not a person who is in the habit of shaving their legs, it is worth a try just to experience this.
That's for real.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Especially if you want to combine it with mine, if the sheets are just a little bit cool from the fall weather.
Yeah. Mixing sensations.
Next up is waking up to my cat headbutting me in the face so I'll make room for her to spoon with me until my alarm goes off in 2 hours.
Ugh, what is that like? It's more like batting you in the face till you feed them. That's not a very enjoyable feeling.
Zoe does that. She'll do like the headbutt thing to wake me up sometimes. Or to make me move, because she likes to sleep on my chest, and I'm a side or a belly sleeper generally, so sometimes if she does want me to go, like, she will definitely do that to me. Ooh, this next one seems a little bit, also specific. When you get the piss shivers. For example, when you pee and it feels so awesome that your body does a little involuntary shoulder shimmy shiver.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that before.
Yep. Yeah. This one was written by a 5-year-old newly potty trained person. letting your hair out of a really tight bun and getting that tingly feeling as all the blood rushes back.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's going to be me today when I take my hair out.
Yeah.
I can, like, feel it. I've got a little tension headache happening.
Oh god, I know exactly what you mean with the tension headache from the end. I have found that if I wear my hair in a ponytail for multiple days in a row, because I don't always, if I wear my hair in a ponytail, like, I will try to not wash my hair every day, but if it's in a ponytail, it sheds a lot more from the ponytail.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. And then the last one is jumping into a pool after sunbathing for like an hour. That initial cold rush is beautiful. I agree with that, actually. Like,
yeah.
And then swimming in it.
And then swimming in it.
The most obvious one I was waiting for the whole time is having your hair played with.
I agree.
Really?
That's like my favorite.
I don't love that. Describe this to me.
You don't?
Having you don't?
Your hair played with?
Yeah. Like we did as kids?
Like someone braiding like your hair time. Or like just like we're just playing with it, like rubbing. Like
it's been so long.
It's like my favorite thing ever. Yeah. Mm. But like my sister and I used to do it to each other, but that is not what she said.
Let's have a little sense of decorum.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I guess so. But speaking of sisters, my sister loves to have her toes cracked.
Oh, I like to crack my own. I don't like to have anyone else.
Yeah.
It's like a me activity.
Yes. Oh, you like to self-crack.
But in my back, somebody, like anyone can go to town on that. And please. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's true. That
sometimes I do think about that. Like, oh, if somebody could just crack my back right now.
Oh my god, I love cracking my own back. Like that to me is one of these like non-sexual sensations that I do enjoy. Like if you're doing like a big workout and then like afterwards you just kind of crack your back and everything like resets and you're like, whoo, I feel so great now.
But, like, you know the spots that you can't get yourself?
Yeah, I like need that right now.
Yeah.
Like my whole back is
now you're making my back itchy. Anyway, all right. On that note, let's take a quick break And then we can come back and do feedback and talk about other things. So good times.
Cool.
All right. We'll be back. I think we should.
Maybe not. We might not be back. We don't know.
You might just hear us. I don't know. We'll find out. All right. We're back. We just took a long break for some pearl necklace talk. Like actual pearls.
Like actual like jewelry. Sexual. Get your minds out of the gutters, yeah. People.
Not the sexual sensation pearls. Pearl necklace.
Speaking of non-sexual sexual sensations, how did we also not say massage?
Oh, that's a good point.
That's and like honestly, the best non-sexual sensation.
That is a great point. Although I would also argue that getting a good manicure, where they like massage your hands and then, you know, like a good manicure is also a great non-sexual sensation.
Yeah.
Still haven't had that manicure yet, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, I'm from Long Island where they have to like, there's manicure places like more than there are Starbucks in every corner. And you have to really, they have to work for your business, I guess. I don't know. I just think a great mani/mani-pedi, you know, is a really relaxing experience.
Yeah, I like a good pedicure.
Ah, yeah. Anyways, it's enough from us for now. let's hear what some of the listeners had to say. So we start off our feedback section with stuff from the Facebook group page, which the first one is from Ro, who said, "When episode titles rock, #.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. Inspired.
I messed it up, though. Because I called it, "I want sex noises and candy," but it should have been, isn't it, "I smell sex and candy"? What is the song?
Yeah, I think it's "I smell."
Yeah.
I smell sex noises and candy.
Yeah. I messed it up. Oh, well. Still,
it's fine.
It's still great.
It was still great. Yeah. And it was still a funny episode. Fallon said, "I have a palindrome baby. My oldest was born on 11/22/11. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And Mandy said that she also has a palindrome baby on 8/6/08. So 8/06/08.
Nice.
That's awesome. So many people that the universe has brought to our show.
I know. Who would have known?
Who would have known?
JP said, "This episode has officially made me extremely cautious of accidentally butt dialing Amanda the next time I do beep bop boop with someone."
Yeah, please don't.
I just love that beep bop boop is happening.
Beep bop boop is a thing.
Yes. Sherry said that here's a method for adults to stop a bad habit. And this is in response to actually JP's email questions from last week, or last episode rather. "It's a method to retrain your mind. To stop a bad habit, it's done in two steps. And the first one is you have to want to change and decide that you don't want to do it. So it's for you, not for anyone else. And this step is imperative. The second step is tell yourself, 'That's not who I am anymore.' Tell yourself it in all caps, too, about whatever bad habit you want to quit. So, for example, my nail biting. Me, Colleen. Say that I make the decision that I want to quit and I tell myself, 'That is not who I am anymore.' At some point, I catch myself biting my nails and then I would simply stop and tell myself, 'That is not who I am anymore.' Within 2 months, you will have retrained your brain and you'll find that you're not doing whatever it is anymore. I know it sounds too simple to be true, but works." Makes sense to me.
Makes sense.
That makes sense to me. I thought that it took 2 weeks to break a bad habit in general. So I wonder if like that first 2 weeks is the most rough, like the roughest.
Yeah, part maybe. Of that. And then I remember a gym teacher in high school also told me that it takes 2 weeks to form a new habit.
Yeah.
Or conversely, then break an old habit. I wonder if that's actually true or if it's just something that gym teachers repeated.
Right. And I've heard
in the early 2000s.
It might have been.
Yeah. Good times. And then Dennis said, this just in from over a year ago, "Women's wear is littered with fake pockets that don't open or shallow pockets that can hardly hold a paperclip. If women's clothes have pockets at all, they're often smaller and just fit less than men's pockets do." And when we talk about pockets, we are talking about who has access to the tools they need, who can walk through the world comfortably and securely. And this is an article. He is quoting an article from...
It's an episode of 99% Invisible. Which, side note, is an episode I've listened to, which, side note, is a podcast I love, which, side note, listeners of the tribe might remember that Roman Mars, the host of 99% Invisible, is one of my number one podcast voice crushes.
I feel like, my God, I remember we talked about that. I remember some of your other podcast voice crushes.
That's right.
Yeah, I knew. Oh, man, that was my old house, my old studio. I totally do remember this conversation. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Good time. It's a really great podcast, though.
I will
Just in general. And they did a whole, like, mini series on clothing, and it's super interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I will link to this specific episode in the show notes. And then, I mean, if you click on this and you, like, it's very easy to navigate the rest of the... like the website to get to the rest of the episode of the podcast. So thank you for the endorsement, Shandy, and thank you for the recommendation, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've realized that when I say things like I'll put it in the show notes, not everyone knows what that means. So I feel like I should take this opportunity real quick to explain that. And that would be when you're listening to a podcast episode. And I'm going to explain it in the podcast app itself, but this is true for everything. You can always, like, you can scroll up and see episode notes, and that is where you will have links to different things. I'm sure that this is the same principle in any, like, app or whatever that you're listening to. If you're listening to a web page or streaming it or something, there's got to be a way to click, like, view more information, and that would probably be where that is. It's where the episode description is. So... that is what I mean by show notes, and I will put that there. Okay, on that note, the next up is another thing from Dennis, and this is my interest in the sport of lacrosse, along with growing up just miles from the birthplace of the Iroquois Confederacy, keeps me current on many issues involving the Native American community. I'm not sure where the assumption started, but the word Indian is not necessarily considered a slur with most Native Americans. Hmm. Caricatures, team logos, and the co-opting of historical Native American terms for sports teams are the things that cause more ire among the American Indian community. For instance, one major Native American publication is called Indian Country Today. Another Indian news website is IndianZ.com. Interesting. I didn't know cool. that. I guess I need to get more educated on Native American / Indian / Indigenous people /
news. Yes, me as well.
Yeah. I will say at this point we have like kind of a lot of white people talking about like what Native Americans do or do not want to be called.
Yes. So if you're out there and like you are a Native American, you are a Native American, we would like to talk to you.
Yeah.
We can clearly use some help.
I mean, but just like anything, I don't think any one person from any one tribe like can give us a succinct answer. And I also like, I wouldn't want to like reach out to my Native American friends to be like, hey, can you be my token Native American to answer this question?
No, but it's also...
No, but it's even just to talk
I think
to
it
someone.
Means a lot, too, if you...
Can you educate a bunch of white people? It's just... Anyway, yeah. But I think, again, I think it depends who's saying what.
Right.
Who's doing the saying.
Right.
Mm.
And the one thing that I've learned from the internet is to always listen. And, you know, when somebody else is talking and... I have found through just watching that, you know, there are some people that are there. How do I word this right? There are some people like I'm thinking of like, you know, Pantsuit Nation or Nasty Women's Group or something. There are some people in there that are always like, please ask away. I want white people, white women specifically, to ask questions, to clarify, like to be educated. And there are some people that are like, I can't be bothered with white women who don't want to be, who don't, you know, who... I can't be bothered with white women who are asking questions when they could easily find this out from anywhere else. And this is actually forefront because I read a thread today about Sean King in which people were arguing about it. And the topic came up where some women of color on there were like, you know, listen and don't talk. And some were like, listen and ask away. So, I don't know. You're right, Shandy. You don't want to be that person that's like, wants to make someone a token, but also,
please do the work of educating me.
Right. Yeah. But also, how does somebody get educated?
Well, exactly.
If you don't talk to somebody who has the experiences, it's kind of a catch 22, I guess, in a way.
I don't know. Go to Montana and take a class.
Yeah. I think it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
You know, every situation is unique, and to just be aware before you open your mouth, as I so often am not.
I say go to Montana and take a class because in Montana there's a thing called the what is the name? I'm gonna fuck up the name now. It's probably called like Indian Education for All. Yeah,
no pressure, Shandy.
American Indian Education for All. Anyway, and like you have to, it has to be Native American history has to be interwoven into the curriculum. Mm-hmm. And like if you want to become a teacher in Montana, you are required to take a Native American Studies class no matter what you're going to be teaching.
That's awesome.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It's always good to, you know things about, you know.
About things.
Knowledge is power, guys. That's where I'm going with this. All right. Knowledge is power. Speaking of knowledge, Matt has a few recommendations, and they are, the first one is The Alice Network by Kate Quinn, a young pregnant woman searching in post-World War II France with the help of an older woman and her driver. The story also delves into the older woman's time with the eponymous group, a spy ring of women in Europe in World War I. Okay, that's The Alice Network. Second recommendation is Hollow Kingdom by Kira Jane Buxton. Literally a bird's eye view of the apocalypse with a crow named Shit Turd, a house pet, trying to navigate the world with his dog friend after a zombie apocalypse. I didn't see that coming, but cool.
Yeah. Well, somebody named Buxton wrote it, so it's got to be good.
That's a good point. And finally, something called The Testaments by Margaret Atwood. I'm sure it's on all of your lists, and I will say I really liked it. Listen to the audiobook, and now, as we've talked about, and Dowd reads the Aunt Lydia parts. Bryce Dallas Howard and Mae Whitman also read.
Ooh.
Yep. Still in my wait list on the library, at the library.
I bought it. It's sitting on my shelf.
I'm still trying to finish Magic for Liars.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because I gave away my original copy of The Handmaid's Tale.
That's right.
And I miss it, and I wish it would come home. So I bought this one because I feel like it's a book I'm probably going to want to read again. Yeah. And someday when it's reunited with my original copy of The Handmaid's Tale, they can live harmoniously together on my bookshelf and it will be glorious. Yes.
Glorious.
Nice.
Cool. All right. And now finally, some Mass What She Said before we get into our emails.
We are inching closer to 150.
We might have to start doubling up.
I use the fingers.
They never look right on my face.
They are very thick.
She just had multiples everywhere.
I just got them.
On.
Yeah.
On. I just got them on.
Nope. Just I got them
so
on.
So wrong.
I got them on.
There you go. There's more bending involved. Getting your leg up, being careful.
There's also the rub factor. I think that, honestly, body. I think I've gotten the best one so far.
That's good.
It was a good one. It's a full body workout, which is great.
Some of us are just loud, okay?
Oh, I'll let you know when we get there.
What part are you on?
He gets all worked up.
It's the same length, so I'm thinking awesome.
Let me go back to the top.
I have dry mouth.
No, Amanda, you gotta say it in like Bernie Sanders tone, like, I had a dry mouth. like Seinfeld.
Oh, I don't think I could do it as good as that.
I have to take mine out when I do Pure Bar.
Nothing to report on your end?
Beep Bop Boop gets stuck places and is very persistent.
I love Beep Bop Boop.
Alex calls him Beep Bop Boop now.
Aww,
Boop. Yeah, both of my children are going to be shocked when they ever see another Zumba in a room. Roomba in the wild. They're going to be like, "Oh, you have Beep Bop Boop too, Freddy? Little Johnny, you have a Beep Bop Boop as well?" And they're going to be like, "What the fuck is that?" Aren't you designed to avoid these things after your first time because you have the feelers out?
We have crossed that line.
Give me your loudest noise. I'll watch.
We've got five of them going now.
Everything is so goddamn tight.
All of them the same length. I've never had that.
Thanks, friend. Not sleeping tonight either.
You better come in costume.
No, Shanny, you gotta say that sexier.
That's all I can muster.
You better come in costume.
Thank you.
Oh, now it's time for some emails.
All right. Our first email is from our good friend, Joanne with a Plan, titled Nearby Conversations. And she says, Colleen, Amanda, and Shandy, I have a discussion topic I'd like to hear you and, of course, the listeners comment on. The scene is that you are sitting at a restaurant and the people in the booth next to you are discussing a topic in such an ignorant and or wrongful way that you feel an internal urge to say something, but an external action to either sit there and try to ignore or get up and move. I wish I had the fortitude to stand up and say something like, I'm so happy that my grandkids are growing up in a supportive, caring, loving, and unprejudiced environment, and not the small-minded, prejudiced, hateful, uncaring, judgmental world you live in. But of course, I never do. Several times, and always for different topics, I have moved away. Sometimes I just stew. What do you do? If you are with someone else versus by yourself, would you act differently? The topic can be race or gender or sexuality or religion or any topic upon which people are happy to trumpet their prejudicial. Trumpet their prejudicial. Oh, no.
Prejudicial.
It's like one of those words you need a running start to.
Eponymous. Prejudicial.
Yeah. Are happy to trumpet their prejudicial views aloud in a public place. Does the closeness of the topic to your own personal situation matter? Thoughts, Joanne?
No.
Damn.
Yeah. I think, Joanne, I kind of fall in your category that, like, I always want to, like, say something, but at the end of the day, I'm just a little too shy, and it always feels like just a step too far. So, yeah, I feel like I kind of fall in the camp of I stew or mutter under my breath.
Yeah. I generally will take note and then talk shit about them on this podcast.
There you go.
Yep.
I don't know that I've heard, like, I can't think of any examples that really come to mind, but I think that, like, I would have a hard time inserting myself into somebody's conversation.
Yeah.
So unless it's like, maybe it would be different if I was like in like a more of like a bar environment and you're maybe standing at a bar right next to someone. And so it's more conducive to like turning to that person and chatting versus like sitting at a different table, even if the tables are close, and like turning at them and interrupting their conversation. And
I understand.
It's not going to be well received, for one thing. Well, I wouldn't receive it well either. I'd be like, dude, who the fuck are you?
Right.
Get out of my conversation.
Right. But it's sort of like, does your interjecting do any good or does it just do more harm? And I think more often than not, it probably that wouldn't have the positive result that you're maybe hoping for.
I don't know. If you make them feel like an asshole, then that's pretty positive to me.
Yeah.
If you're able to.
But mostly,
I think it would just like reinforce, if it's something having to do with, prejudice, and you're just reinforcing their views that like, oh, like liberals are such pompous assholes and they'll just and interrupt your conversation. You know, it's like feeding into that.
I totally get that because I frequently feel the same way on Facebook where I'll generally just scroll right on by. And somebody from my, I did not just scroll right on by the other day, and somebody from that I went to high school with actually unfriended me because apparently correcting their article.
Congratulations.
Correcting their article, and they had like a Trump banner on their fucking Facebook page, and like it was like MAGA everywhere. And the article that they shared was the one that's been going around the internet, like the black CEO of, female CEO of Starbucks says that she hates white people. And that's the headline of the article that people are just sharing. And then if you actually read the article, nowhere in it does it actually say that she said that. She just, you know, it doesn't actually say that she said that. And I commented on it and was just like, because I had a bad week last week. I had had enough. So, I mean, this was like, that's an interesting, this is an interesting title when nowhere in the actual article does she say what the title says that she said. And that's all I said. It was one sentence. It was that. And then he came back to me with a comment at like 3 a.m. and it was like, well, you know, they don't support the troops. So fuck you if you don't support the troops. And, you know, you better just remove me from your timeline. And I was like, and then I was like, you know what? This is why I don't like getting into it with people on Facebook that I don't know well about politics stuff, because if people are in a cult, it never ends well, because they don't want to get out of the cult. And
right, you don't know what they're bringing to the dialogue.
Did you listen to that, Colin?
I've got 4 minutes left, so I'm pretty sure I've like gotten the gist of it. But like, at this point, I've kind of come to the conclusion that if you're okay with everything that is going on in our country, if your excuse is, well, Obama did it, or well, Hillary would have been worse, or well, this, well, that, it still doesn't, you're still saying that you're okay with what's happening. Like, okay, let's say that Hillary would have done it. So you would have been mad if she did it, but you're not mad if this person does it, which means that doesn't speak very well about your character, right? Like, let's just play out.
I think nobody ever said it was logical.
Right, no. But like if you play out the scenario,
because logic falls apart, like right there.
Well, exactly.
You just poked a giant hole in it.
Right. Okay. So you're saying that Obama put kids in cages. So you were okay with that then, because you're okay with it now. Oh no, you weren't okay with it then. So then why are you okay with it now? What changed?
I know. I have news for you. Obama also wore a tan suit one time.
He did, and he looked really good in it.
Wow. Can anyone look good in a tan suit?
Yeah, there's certain. I mean, yes.
I feel like there was a joke there that I might have missed.
I believe that I would someday look good in a tan suit if I had the opportunity. I would rock the fuck out of a tan suit. I'm just saying.
I could see it.
I think I could.
I could see it. Yeah.
So, no, there was no inside joke, just a little bit of inside vanity going on.
I still am not following.
I used to have a mustard yellow skirt suit, and I loved it. I loved it so much. I can't wait for it to come. It is totally not in style anymore, but I haven't gotten rid of it because I can't fucking wait for that shit to come back in style.
You should rock that anyway.
I might.
Bring it back in style. Be that trendsetter.
That's right. Anyway, so I responded to this dude going back where I was like, I'm sorry. I thought that this article was about the CEO of Starbucks saying that she didn't like white people. Did I miss something about them not supporting the troops? Because according to this blog post, and it was a blog post from military.com, Starbucks actually actively hires veterans and service members' wives, and they have a donation thing where, you know, and I'm not saying Starbucks is, you know, some great company or whatever, because, you know, I'm not arguing that. I'm just arguing, like, you are perpetuating falsities. Oh, you're referring to the, you know, email that went out allegedly that they refused to serve, you know, veterans a few years ago that then, like, you know, everybody said was a hoax, including like the military people. And, you know, like, are you referring to that? Because that's also, I can give you 100 different articles that, you know, have people from the military saying, please stop sharing this because it's not true. So anyway, regardless, How did we get on this subject again?
Joanne's question.
Yeah.
What do Joanne's you do? Question.
What do you do? Anyway, so yeah, my standard policy is to type something up on Facebook and then not hit send.
And then screenshot it.
And then screenshot
it. That's what I would have
said. And then send it to people, which I frequently do in our political overflow group. Because I got some neighbors across the street from me that are crazy MAGAs.
Wow.
Anyways, yes, Joanne, sorry. It's tough. It's tough because you want to be that person that says something like, you look at people like AOC or even Bernie Sanders who challenge like a national narrative because they out there and they're like, no, this is not right. Or even Shandy like challenges me all the time where, you know, you're so steadfast in like your principles and beliefs. But then when you're put into the test in public, it's like, do you want to like realistically engage with people that are deplorable?
So there's definitely that. And then I think there's, again, context. Like, it's not like this is a debate stage where everyone sort of agreed that this is what we're doing. It's like you're overhearing a conversation that people are having, a private conversation, granted, in a public place. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what, like, I'm trying to think, like, what would my limit be? What would make like, me have to...
Yeah,
say something. I don't know.
It's like, and nowadays everyone's looking for a fight, so it's like you don't even necessarily know what you're walking into by saying it.
Right. Also, this is America. If you tell somebody that you disagree with them, they might shoot you.
Mm-hmm. Right. You might. Exactly. Like, I think it's like we're in this hyper reality where it's just like, you know, people say anything and they go off the handle of you don't support the troops. It's like, well, we were talking about like skincare products.
Right.
Right. And then they go home to their stockpile of legally bought guns and come back and you're donezo. So
yeah.
No thanks.
I don't know. But then there's again, you don't in the back of your mind, you don't want to be that person that like allowed the Nazis to happen, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it is tough. It is. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. Like, sometimes I engage on like Facebook or, you know, once in a while in real life. Sometimes I just roll my eyes and move on because I don't think that there's any. I think we're at a point in America where, like, I was started this whole thing where I don't think you're going to change minds other than maybe if, like, I don't even know. Like, sometimes you can change somebody's mind by like showing them like it's not that bad or whatever. But like, I don't know what your subject was, but like, I think there's don't underestimate making the power of making somebody feel like an asshole by proving them wrong about something that is an inherently like terrible belief. But it's tough. I don't have an answer. Somebody else finish this out for me.
I think the only instance where I would maybe entertain the idea of approaching someone religion. Would be if what they are saying is in a direct result of someone that's in the room. You know, it's like if they're making fun of the waiter or some other patron that is within earshot or something where it could be, hey, I overheard you. Like, that person probably overheard you. Like, that's not cool.
I like that approach.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a case where I would find the courage to speak up. Where inserting myself into a situation could potentially be beneficial.
Yeah. No, yeah, I like your approach. It's like not about arguing your point so much as just being like almost like it's a very subtle public shaming.
It's because just reminding you we're all humans here. We're all humans.
Like, exactly. Because chances are there's other people that also are looking at that person that's like making fun of your waiter and being like, that guy's a jackass and somebody should say something. So yeah, I totally agree. I've spoken up in cases like that where it's been somebody around. And I've seen other people, you know, be like, hey man, not cool. So yeah, I do agree on that. But when it's overhearing somebody talking about like some fundamental belief, like how you're not going to change their mind. So like, is it worth it or not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, Joanne. Yeah, that was a real spirited discussion.
Yeah. We talked about that for like 12 minutes.
It's a hard question to answer. And I'm super curious about the, like what prompted this. If there's like a specific example, but you don't have to share it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to.
Yeah. All right. Our second email is from Jeff from Toronto. And he actually has two emails that we're going to try to combine. So hopefully we get it right. He says, hello, Amanda, Shani, and Colleen. I was listening to your latest podcast where you were talking about the frustration of using he as a neutral pronoun and the etymology of the word man and how it is still used as a universal to refer to people. It reminded me of a petition that I started a short while ago. A couple of weeks ago at work, it was announced that a coworker was changing their name to something gender neutral and wanted to be referred to by they and them. This in turn reminded me of something that I read in October on Wikipedia. I heard Sam Smith mentioned on TV, and I wasn't sure who that was, so I Googled the name, and here are some excerpts from Wikipedia. Actually, I have read this story, not on Wikipedia, but just in the news in general, because I believe Sam Smith made this a Instagram post or something. Sam Smith now goes by they / their as their pronouns. And this is a newer thing that they announced. So I remember hearing about this as well. Anyway, Jeff continues, I was confused by these plural pronouns referring to Sam Smith. Was this a band like Bon Jovi or Van Halen with a person's name referring to several people? It became more clear where under their personal life, it mentioned that in September 2019, Smith announced that their gender pronouns are they / them. But it was still frustrating. How could we not have a more appropriate pronoun? Now, this reminded me of an experience I had while visiting a relative in Finland. She was confused while speaking English with he and she. She said that the Finnish didn't have that distinction. So I looked up the Finnish word for he / she, him / her. And that word is han. That would be H, you know, A with the two dots ahead of it. I'm sorry. I'm sure it has a real name.
Umlaut.
What is it?
Umlaut.
An umlaut.
Okay. So H umlaut. N?
Well, H A umlaut. Or I don't...
Yeah, the umlaut is the two dots.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm an idiot.
I went to Sweden last year. It's the only reason why I know.
Ah, very good.
Umlauts
cool.
Everywhere.
Yep.
So the Wikipedia page, you know, for Sam Smith actually uses han instead of there in place of it. So Jeff just started a petition to include han in English as the gender-neutral personal pronoun that treats everyone equally and wanted to see if we would help by adding our names. The goal is to reach 100 signatures, and he needs more support. You can read more about the petition here, and it's a change.org petition. I will link to it in the show notes, which go back about 20 minutes for my description of what the show notes are if you're interested in signing it. But essentially, Finland is on board with the idea of using one pronoun for everyone in order to have equality, be a cornerstone and source of strength for society. There's also a way to pronounce that word that I'm sure I'm pronouncing incorrectly because, again, I'm an idiot. Let's see if we can get this to play.
Han.
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 Cool. Jeff continues, I have used incorrect grammar, singular indefinite pronouns with plural personal pronouns to try to form non-gender specific sentences like, if someone enters, they should turn left, or if anybody enters, have them turn left. Although not perfect grammar, this sentence seems to be generally accepted and not so confusing. Other situations are confusing, and I would like to have a new gender neutral word to fill that void. I started the petition as a way to share the idea and get people to use han in their speech, like beep, bop, boop. Zach named han that. Thanks, Jeff from Toronto. P.S. Ironically, we're talking about Mythbusters and the myths of bespoke feminine cleaning products, and the Realmcast After Dark is promoting ball wash, sack spray, and nut rub.
Sounds about right.
Is there a problem with just soap?
You know what? It's their not mom sensitive has never enough. Told them. Yeah.
It's a very delicate area, I hear.
Mm-hmm. Jeff also sent a follow-up that added, how the possessive version would have an apostrophe S. So instead of Han, it would be Hans. You know, Hans made Hans' United States debut on The Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, referring to Sam Smith. So, cool.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm all for making language inclusive, and I'm super not against borrowing words. Obviously, we do it all the time. I am a little bit confused, though, how it would be less confusing to borrow a word from Finnish that even has an umlaut, which is an accent mark that doesn't exist in English, how that would be less confusing than just using they and them. Like, speakers of the language are already using pretty commonly. So I think, like, definitely if it's your first time hearing that structure, I can understand the confusion. But it's been a thing for quite a while. So I would say just give it some time and it might sound less weird. You're already using they as a singular, like, you know, word. So it'll come. Trust me. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Which, like, I would argue is actually not incorrect grammar either, because it's wildly accepted by speakers, which makes it correct.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think the biggest hurdle is getting people, whether we go with Han or they or them, there. I think the biggest challenge is getting people who are going to be naturally resistant to things like common decency and calling people what they want to be called. Going back to Joanne's email, getting those people on board. Because I don't think it matters what you do.
But that's, like, the beauty of language, too, is that, like, you can't impose a rule on people. You can't make anyone speak a certain way. So, like, the people who are resistant to that, they will eventually die, and the language will continue to evolve.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Just give it some time, and it will, you know, it will become totally normal. And then people who in 2019 may have been super resistant to it because they don't like the idea of there being more than a gender binary, you know,
or they just don't like the idea of people telling them that they have to be nice to other people.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. You know, they won't be around anymore. And, like, it will just be part of common parlance.
Anyway, I will link to the petition in the show notes, Jeff. I think it's really awesome that you are, you know, trying to raise awareness and fight this fight. Like, that's really cool. And I wonder what you would do if you, you know, were in a restaurant and heard people talking about crazy bigoted things or whatever topics. I am interested because I feel like you would be the kind of person that would, you know, possibly stand up and say something. Clearly, because you're doing that now.
I definitely want stories.
Yeah. Give Shandy all the stories. I want some stories. The broadcasters.
I do think
gmail.com.
Yes. What's great about this is that whether or not you actually want to adopt this word, I think it just raises awareness and makes people realize, people who may not have realized that, you know, how sexist language can be, might make them stop and be like, oh, yeah, that is kind of weird that we do that.
Right. The more we talk about things, the less weird it becomes and the more it becomes second nature.
Exactly. Agreed. All right, so we're going to finish up with an update from Andy. We have a voicemail from Dez, but running a little bit long right now. That's what she said. And I think we're going to get to that next week, but we love you, Dez. And I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yep, worth the wait, always.
Yes, exactly. All right, Andy update, and then we are out.
Okay, so Andy writes in, hey, broads, it's important to remember that it is a two-way street with dating and not to take my lack of success too personally, but still tough to do when I'm the constant in all of these interactions. I don't expect a reason from any woman for why they're not interested. I just wish I had a better idea of what's going on. Thankfully, I've seen other people griping about how much dating in your 30s sucks, so I know I'm not the only one in this boat. Ultimately, this just makes me more nervous for when I break the news to them. I've gotten so few interactions so far, and while I believe some women will be okay with my inexperience, there will be those who find it a deal breaker. Well, I would find those women a deal breaker, Andy, just saying. My dating pool is small enough as it is. I'd like to get to that step at least as opposed to the countless dead ends. Well, that's where I'm at right now. I hope things will change soon. When the time comes, I will let you know if her neighbors happen to be podcasting at that moment. I wonder if any of Armando's neighbors are single. Throwback to the beginning of the episode.
Wow, that is Andy.
Andy was like, what is that? Not omniscient.
He was
like
sending the joke to us in the future. Yeah.
That's kind of weird because I did not read this before right now.
No, I did not either. Wow. Andy, we are just in sync.
Damn. I will say when I have been swimming these past few weeks, I like have thought a lot about Andy because just because like it's such a, you know, again, like doing something new and slightly out of your comfort zone and something that's just for you and is a confidence booster and, you know, gives you non-sexual pleasure. It's just like such a way to make you feel good about yourself. And I think that so many of the things that we've come back to is like, it's so important to be happy with yourself first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Agreed.
Cause like you may or may not be in a relationship at any point in your life, but you will always be with yourself.
You always be in a relationship with yourself.
That's going to be like
the thing, but it's so true.
See, when I say that, I imagine I'm a cat holding onto a branch and I'm on a poster on someone's wall.
Oh, good times. All right. Well, thank you for the update, Andy. On that note, everybody, I think it's time to get out of here. Thank you to the patrons. If you'd like to become a patron and join us on our 150th anniversary or whatever, 150th episode celebration for the Hangout Level patrons next week, the 22nd of October, please do so. You can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patron link at the top right-hand corner of the website. But really, you know, we would appreciate if you can be patrons at any level, or not at all. We just really appreciate you listening, honestly, to be honest. You've got lots of content out there, and we are happy that you're listening to us right now. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, that'd be awesome, too. That'd be janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. Please, for everybody out there, come in costume. And we'll organize some way for us to have a hashtag and like tweet pictures of us in costume or something because we need to make this happen. And that will be our show on October 29th. We've got some costume ideas going out there. I've got two backup costumes in case our costume ideas don't work out. Both involve me wearing wigs. So stay tuned for that. oh my God, I forgot to talk about this at the top of the show, but this past weekend, and I talk more about this on my blog, so you can go there and see pictures, and that would be callrights.com. I'll also put this in the show notes, but Zachary and I went to a geocache meetup for North Carolina geocachers.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was in Goldsboro, North Carolina, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from our house. It was on Saturday. They had some fun things for the kids to do, like painting geocaches to hide. There was like a creative geocache like exchange, which I made one, and then like the guy kind of pressured me to participate, but not in like the bad way of pressuring me. Like he was really super nice and cool, and was like, "Well, you know," because I was like, "I made one, but I left it in the car because you know it's kind of lame." And he was like, "It's your first one; it can't be that lame. Like you've never, you know, done this before, and don't you want to set an example for your son?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're kind of right." Like I was super nervous. Like super nervous, like to the point of like I must have been like bright red. But anyway, everybody was super nice there, and they like welcomed us, and there were some kids there, and they gave them, including Zach, a walking stick that like adjusts to like as you row, a whistle, a flashlight. Like they gave them some cool little like packages and stuff, and then everybody was super tolerant of Zachary and the other kids blowing their whistles like super loudly in our ears. Zach had a blast though, like painting like one of those big ammo can like caches, which are like the big ones that you put stuff in. He had a blast doing that. And it was really cool to like just meet people from the area that I found their geocaches. So it was a cool experience.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. And it was weird. Like the biggest takeaway for me, other than like, you know, they were nice because I figured they'd be nice, is I experienced what it's like to go to a meetup of a community from the other side.
And actually, yeah.
As I was leaving,
you're not the host.
Yeah, like to not be the host. And like I do the annual Jane Jack Network meetup at my house every May. And as a part of my job, like I do event stuff. So it was just really weird to be on the other side and, you know, wait for other people to give me instructions or wait, you know, not like know what was going to happen next. So that was kind of cool. Just, you know, from the opposite perspective, like, I don't know. But anyway, I was super nervous. Like Zach wasn't nervous. Zach went in there and he was like, you know, I own this place. And like, at one point it wasn't even lunchtime, but he was like, I'm hungry. What's for lunch? And he like went up to, so it was a woman and a man like running it. And they were both super nice, but like, yeah, he just went up to the lady. And she was like, well, you know, because it was pulled pork, which we got there. It was pulled pork and they had been there since 3 a.m. actually roasting the pigs.
Wow.
And like pulling the pork. And generally that would gross me out, but I tried some of it and it was actually really good.
I bet.
Yeah, like fresh off the whatever.
Fresh off the pig.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, you know, but like, it was just, that was really cool. And then, Zach was like, I'm hungry. What's for lunch? And she was like, well, you know, the meat's not done yet, but there's some mac and cheese that's at the table and you can absolutely have your mom make a plate for you. And he goes to her, I don't like mac and cheese. He doesn't like grilled cheese, mac and cheese. Like the only cheese that Zachary likes is on a pizza. So. And even then, like, he will, if there's extra cheese, he will pick it off, in which I will eat it then. Yeah. So anyway, it was really cute and fun. And again, I talk about it more on my blog. But yeah, it was so cool. I did something outside of my, somewhat outside of my.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah. And I can't believe I forgot to mention that. But yeah, it was awesome.
That's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my story. On that note, everybody, hope that we see some of you live next week for 150. Ah! Thank you to the patrons that contribute on a certain level, and that would be Ed the Creepy Mailman, Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Joanne with a Plan, Maggie the Magnificent, and Drake the Distributor. Thanks, guys, so much. We will talk to everybody next week in some form or another. Get your costumes ready for the 29th. All right, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.